Amen. I appreciate what was shared this morning already. And the exhortation to stand fast in the liberty with Christ, because it is He that has made us free. And therefore, we can, with confidence, stand fast in that. Amen. Appreciate that. So this morning, I want to share on our God is a God of righteousness and justice. So what do we think of when we think of that our God is righteous? Or what do we think of when we think of that our God is justice, is a just God? As I was thinking about that, I was thinking about what if we would be accused of a crime that we did not commit? And if convicted, we will spend years and years in prison. And our hope would be that the judge would be a just judge that would be jealous about justice being served, right? But what if he would not be a just judge, but rather a corrupt judge, and he would condemn you to many, many years in prison? You would long for justice, right? You would long for justice, only to be put into prison for a crime that you did not commit, which, by the way, is happening to many of our brothers and sisters throughout the world today. They are being locked up for crimes they did not commit. And Jesus is saying, it happened to himself, and who are we to say that we are above our master? But praise God, our God is not that way. Our God is not corrupt. Our God does not condemn us or convict us of a crime that we have not committed. But He is a righteous judge. Peace reigns when justice is served. There's peace when justice is served. It's a quote from A.W. Tozer. Justice is not something God has. Justice is something that God is. God is just. It's not something that He has. It's not an attribute that He has. But God is just. Justice is something that God is. God is a righteous judge. He applies justice. And I'm reading through the Old Testament as we speak. And just seeing that over and over, the children of Israel fell away, and God judged them. They repented, and God brought a deliverance to them. And in Genesis 18:25, Abraham is reminding God to judge right. He said, far be it from you to do such a thing as this. Which God came to Abraham and He said that he has plans to judge Sodom and Gomorrah because of their unrighteousness. And Abraham says to God, far be it from you to do this thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you, shall not the judge of the earth do right? Shall not the judge of the earth judge rightly? Even to a point, first he pleaded with him that if there be 50 righteous men in the city, surely you will not condemn the whole city along with them for the righteous sake. And God said, if there's 50 righteous, He will not condemn the city. And all the way down to 10. If there's 10 righteous, He will not condemn the city. Our God is a just God. I'm going to look at the justice of God in Numbers 16, which is the account of Korah, Dathan, and a baron. Oh, what's that? A baron. Yes, there we go. The sons of Numbers 16:2, and they rose up before Moses and some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together unto Moses and against Moses and Aaron, and said to them, "You take too much upon yourself, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why do you so exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord?" So when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. And he spoke to Korah and his company, saying, "Tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him, and them that choose, and whom he chooses, he will cause to come near to him. Do this, take censers, Korah and all your company, put fire in them, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be the man whom the Lord chooses is a holy one. You take too much among yourselves, you sons of Levi." Then Moses said to Korah, "Hear this, you sons of Levi. It is a small thing for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to serve him." So Korah was of the priests that served the Lord in the tabernacle. "And he has brought you near to himself, you and all your brethren, the sons of Levi, with you. Are you also seeking the priesthood also? Therefore you and your company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you complain against him?" And Moses went to call Dathan and Abiram. But they said, "We will not come up. It is the small thing that you have brought us up by the land flowing with milk and honey, to kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like a prince over us." So it was referring to Egypt, the land of bondage, the land of slavery, as the land that was flowing with milk and honey. And saying that he brought them out to the wilderness, away from the land that flowed with milk and honey, to kill them. "Moreover, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Were you put out the eyes of these men, we will not come up." And Moses was very angry and said to the Lord, "Do not respect their offering. I have not taken one donkey from them, nor have I hurt one of them." And Moses said unto Korah, "Tomorrow you and all your company shall be present before the Lord, you and they as well as Aaron. Let each take his censer, put incense in it, and each one of you bring his censers before the Lord, 250 censers, both you and Aaron, each with his censer." So every man took his censer and put fire in it, laid incense in it, stood in the door of the tabernacle of meeting with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "Separate yourself among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." And they fell on their face and said, "O Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, so one man sin and you be angry with all the congregation?" So even there, these men came against Moses and Aaron, and God, and also got the whole congregation to also come against them as well. So even though all that happened, Moses still fell down on his face and said, "O God, the God of the spirit of all flesh, shall one man sin, and you be angry with them all?" So the Lord spoke unto Moses and said, "Speak unto the congregation, get away from the tents of the wicked." And Moses rose and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, "Depart now from the tent of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs, lest you can be consumed in all their sins." So they got away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And they came out and stood at the door of their tents with their wives, their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, "By this shall you know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own will. If these men die naturally like the old men, or they be visited by the common fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord create a new thing, and the earth open its mouth and swallows them up swallow them up and all that belong to them, and they go down alive into the pit. And you shall understand that these men have rejected the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them. And the earth opened his mouth and swallowed them up, and their household, and all the men of Korah with all their goods. And they and all theirs went down, and with them went down alive into the pit. The earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. Then all Israel who was around them fled at their cry, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And the fire came out of the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense. What a scary time. What judgment that came upon these men. But one thing I noticed, which Brent Brer mentioned it at the youth meetings as well, that in this judgment, he gave the opportunity for men to flee. He said, get you away from the tent of the wicked. And those that got away from those tents were saved. And apparently, the sons of Korah did that. So even though Korah and his family died, there were some that did not. Because a number of psalms are written by the sons of Korah. Psalms 42, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 84, 85, 87, 88. There's a lot of psalms written by the sons of Korah. So in the midst of judgment, there was mercy. God redeemed the ones that forsook evil, that fled from the tents of the wicked. I'm just going to read some of the psalms that were written by the sons of Korah. Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the seas. I'm sure they saw that happening to their father, that the earth removed, opened up, and they went down alive, and then it closed up again upon them. So we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. Though the waters of war and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams thereof, that shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is near to her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that is right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolation he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease from the ends of the earth. He breaketh the birds and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Again, with the backdrop of Korah, the sons of Korah writing this psalm. And then Psalm 47. Oh, clap your hands, O ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For the God Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us and the essence of Jacob whom he loved. God is gone up with a shout, the voice with the sound of a triumph. Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. The God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigns over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The prince of the people are gathered together, even the prince of the God of Abraham. For the shield of the earth belong unto the Lord. He is greatly exalted. What a blessing. The God that we serve, like I mentioned, he is a God of justice. When People refused to repent. He judged them. But those that fled from the tents of the wicked, God had mercy. God saved. And it said the sons of Korah were worshipers. And you can see that as you read their Psalms, they worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Then we also see in Numbers 21:4, and God's judgment again came, and again he provided a way out. He provided mercy for those that looked at what he had available for redemption. Numbers 21:4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. The soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loatheth or despises this worthless bread. Talking about manna. And the Lord sent Pharisees, serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a Pharisee serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten and he shall look at it shall live." And Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and it was so. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked on the bronze serpent, he lived. Again, an illustration, the redemption in his mercy, in the midst of judgment, he provided mercy. He provided a way for people to be healed. He provided a way for people to be made whole and not suffer the consequences of the serpent biting them, which was death. And likewise, we have, like the word says, just like the serpent in the wilderness was lifted up, as we look to Jesus, we can be saved. Look to Jesus and live. Imagine the people almost dying, and it was to say, just look. Just take a look at this sermon, this bronze serpent, and live. Just take a look. Just glance your eyes over there. And some apparently did, but some probably, well, what's the use? I mean, I can't. But those that look found redemption. Those that look found healing, and they were saved from the grips of death. And lived. Then we see in Deuteronomy 28, which God is saying that if you follow me, there will be blessings. If you obey my word, and observe and do all his commandments that command you this day, that the Lord will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. The Lord will set you on high if you obey his voice. Deuteronomy 28:1-22. And it shall come to pass that if thou wilt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all the blessings shall come to thee and overtake thee. And if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shall thou be in the city, blessed shall thou be in the field, blessed shall thou be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall thou be thy basket and thy store, blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thy enemies to rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and all that thou settest thy hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And the Lord establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. The Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the cattle, and the fruit of the ground, and the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee good treasures, the heavens to give rain unto thy land in this season, and blessing, and to bless all the works of thy hands, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. The Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and shall not be beneath. And if thou shalt hearken unto the commandment of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and do them, and thou shalt not go aside unto any of the words that I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, and to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do his commandment, and his statutes which I command you this day, and all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shall I be in the city, cursed shall I be in the field, cursed shall be the baskets and the store, cursed shall be the fruit of their body, the fruit of the land, and the increase of their kind, and the flocks of their sheep. Cursed shall be that when thou comest in, and cursed shall be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all these, in all that thou settest thy hand to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he has consumed thee from off the land which thou hast, whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with the consumption, and with the fever, and with the inflammation, and with the extreme burning, with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and thou shalt pursue thee until thou perish. What a difference. As the people follow and diligently serve and to do his commandments, the blessing of God was upon them. And it's like Joshua said before he died, said, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the idols that are in the land or the God of the Lord, the God of heaven and earth. Said it's a choice. We have to choose who we will serve. In Galatians 6, 7 and through 9 says, what a man sows, he also reaps. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that is where he also reaps. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now let us not grow weary of doing well, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Then we see in Judges, Judges is written after Joshua and that generation dies. And it says, after that Israel does not know the Lord and sin and goes after other gods, and then a deliverer rises up to save them when they repent. So we see that over and over again throughout Judges. Judges 2:11, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam, and forsook the God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. So they forsook the Lord their God and bowed down to idols, to other gods. And God brought judgments. Nevertheless, they said, they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them in the hands of those that spoiled them. And then just continuously, then Judges 3:7, again the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and his groves. Then it says that Then the anger of the Lord was hot against them, and he sold them to their enemies for 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer who delivered them, which was Caleb's younger brother. Then again in verse 12, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened the king of Moab against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And it's just time and again, they did evil, they repented, God brought a deliverance, and they, and while that person that brought deliverance lived, they had rest. But then the cycle just continues. Judges 4:1, Judges 6:1, Judges 8:33. Then in Judges 10, we see that they went too far. God is now said, he is done. I will no longer deliver the children of Israel. I'm finished. Judges 10:6, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, and so Balaam and the other gods, the gods of Syria, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the children of Ammon, the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served not him. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them in the hands of the Philistines, in the hands of the children of Ammon. And in that year they wrecked and oppressed the children of Israel. 18 years, all the children of Israel that were on the other side of Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which was in Gilead. Again the children of Israel passed through Jordan to fight so against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and served Balaam. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, did I not deliver you from the Egyptians, from the Amorites, from the children of Ammon, from the Philistines, the Canaanites, and the Amalekites, the Moabites, that did oppress you, and you cried to me and delivered you out of their hands? Yet you have forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore, I will deliver you no more. What a verdict. Here, in distress, God, the children of Israel, in the deepest distress, they cry out to the Lord and repent. And the verdict comes back. Yet you have forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore, I will deliver you no more. I'm done. Go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation, saying, just go after the gods that you have chosen. Let them deliver you, if they will. And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, we have sinned. Do unto us whatsoever seemeth good to thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord, and his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. God's soul was grieved for the misery that the children of Israel were going through. Then the children of Ammon were gathered together and camped against Gilead, and the children of Israel assembled themselves together and camped in Mizpah. And the people and the prince of Gilead said one to another, what man is he that's able to fight against the children of Ammon, and he shall be head over the inhabitants of the Gilead? And then God brought a deliverance. After God says that, I'm done. I will no longer deliver you. Go after the gods that you have decided to serve. Look to them for deliverance. After God said that, when they repented and looked to him, God's soul was grieved at their misery, and he brought a deliverance. That is a God that we serve. Like we read about in Deuteronomy 28, blessings and curses. God brought that forth. He said, there will be blessings upon you if you serve me. There will be curses upon you if you forsake me. So all that happened to a point where God was saying, I'm done. Yet when they repented, he saved them. It's like Jesse read this morning, Lamentations 3:22 and 23. If I can. If I can lay my hands on it now. Now, here we go. It is of the Lord's mercies that we will not consume, because His compassion faileth not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord's mercies, it is because of His mercies that we will not consume. In a verse that I read this morning in Psalms 89:14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. So mercy, God is a merciful God. It is because of His mercies that we will not consume. Charles Spurgeon says in this way, God in His infinite mercy has devised a way for that justice can be satisfied, yet mercy can be triumphed. Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father, took upon Himself the form of man and offered unto divine justice that which was accepted as equal for the punishment due to all His people. Justice was due, but God brought forth His only Son as a payment for the justice that was due. Another quote by Charles Spurgeon is, God never punishes children for the sense of avenging justice. He chastens as a father does his child, but He never punishes His redeemed as a judge does a criminal. It is unjust to exact punishment from redeemed souls once Christ has been punished in our place. How can the Lord punish twice for one offense? So because Jesus took our punishment, it is paid for in full. Therefore, the Lord is just. In His justice, He doesn't punish two times for the same offense. That punishment was already paid for, and therefore, He doesn't punish again. God in His mercy has provided a Redeemer. Jesus Christ, who took our sins on His shoulder and was smitten of God, and God was satisfied. Isaiah 53, a very familiar chapter. It says that God was satisfied. We'll just start in verse 1. Who has believed our report, and whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form of comeliness, and when He shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, and acquainted with grief. And we hid as were our face from Him. He was despised, yet we esteemed Him not. Surely He has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one in his own way. The Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. So He opened not His mouth. He was taken by prison from judgment. Who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was He stricken, and made His grave with the wicked, and with the rich of his death, because He has done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him, and put Him to grief. When He shall make His soul an offering for sin, when He shall see His seed, and shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His land. He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. And with His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. It pleased the Lord to bruise His Son, Jesus Christ. And He saw the travail of Jesus' soul when he was on that cross, when He died with the sins of the whole world upon His shoulders, saying that God saw the travail of His soul, and He was satisfied. We serve a God that is satisfied this morning. He is satisfied because Jesus Christ has paid for it in full by His blood. Then also John 3. Start at 13. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world to condemn the world, sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not on is condemned already, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. He loved us so much that he gave his life so that we can have life. That just like this, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, it was a way of redemption for those that were bitten with the bite of the serpent, which meant death. As they looked to the serpent in the wilderness, as they looked in the serpent that Moses raised up, they looked and they lived. Said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Even there must the Son of Man be lifted up and die for our sins and be raised again in newness of life. Hallelujah. So we cannot begin to understand God's justice unless we first understand sin. Sin is lawlessness, which 1 John 3:4, and iniquity, which is Daniel 9:4-5, and also James 3:6. I won't turn to those. It embodies everything contrary to God's holy nature and is offensive to him. Thus, sin is a crime against God, and justice demands a penalty of death and separation from him for it. Do we see sin as that severe? Sin is a crime against God, and justice demands a penalty of death and separation from him. That's how God looks at sin. It's against God. But God sent his Son Jesus Christ to earth to pay that penalty for us. Romans 5:8-11 and also 6:23, and has made salvation available to all who believe in his name. Even though sin is a penalty, sin is a crime against God and justice demands a penalty of death and separation from God, because we're not sinning against other people, but we're sinning against God. We serve a God of redemption. Even throughout the Old Testament, as I'm reading through the Old Testament, I see God's mercy is there. When the people sin, God brought judgment because God is just. When they repented, God brought a deliverance because of his mercies. So if God is a God of mercy, should we not be merciful? Should we not treat each other in mercy? Because of what Christ has done for us, because that God has redeemed us, God has cleansed us, God has paid the penalty for our sin, God has wiped away and written paid in full over the things that we have done against him in the past. But in his mercy, he provided a way of redemption. And therefore, because God is a God of mercy, should we not extend mercy one for another? I want to just finish with a devotional from Utmost to His Highest. Work out what God works in you, which referring to work out your own salvation, for God, for it is God who works in you. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Your will agrees with God, but in your flesh there is a nature that renders you powerless to do what you know what you ought to do. When the Lord initially comes in contact with your conscience, the first thing your conscience does is awaken your will, and your will always agrees with God. Yet you say, but I don't know if my will is in agreement with God. Look to Jesus, and you will find that your will and your conscience is in agreement with Him every time. What caused you to say, I will not obey, is something less deep and penetrating than your will. It is perverseness or stubbornness. They're never in agreement with God. The most profound thing in a man is in a person is his will, not sin. The will is an essential element of God's creation of human being. Sin is a perverse nature that enters into people. In someone who has been born again, the source of his will is Almighty God. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. With focused attention and great care, you have to work out what God works in you. Not work to accomplish or earn your own salvation, but work it out so you exhibit the evidence of the life based with determination. But work it out so you exhibit the evidence of a life based with determined, unshakable faith in the complete and perfect redemption of the Lord. As you do this, you will not bring an opposing will up against God's will. God's will is your will. Your natural choice will be in accordance with God's will, and living this life will be natural as pleasing. Stubbornness is an unintelligent barrier, refusing enlightenment and blocking its flow. The only thing to do with this barrier of stubbornness is to blow it up with dynamite. And the dynamite is obedience to the Holy Spirit. Do we believe in Almighty God that's the source of my will? God not only expects me to do His will, but He is in me to do it. So, again, do we walk in obedience? Do we walk in what God reveals to us to walk in by the power of His Holy Spirit? Or do we explain it away, saying, well, it surely doesn't mean this. But maybe it does. What if it does? What if we would just do what God asks us to do? What if He would give you the strength to do it then? I think you will. May God bless you.